Good morning, Governor J.B. Pritzker. How are you, sir?
Well, good morning, Tom. Great to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you again because you and I have not had the opportunity to talk, but I know you've been very busy. That's why I wanted to jump right in. You know, you told me once, you know, budgets are illustrations of priorities when it comes to the state. Budgets show what's important. So what in this budget, how did those priorities manifest in this $46.49 billion budget?
Well, first of all, you're right. Budgets are a moral document, right? They're an expression of who we are in Illinois and what we prioritize. And let me start with this. You know, this is my fourth balanced budget in a row. That's a big deal for the state of Illinois. I think you can remember just a few years ago before I was governor, we had no budget for a couple of years. So balancing it, ensuring that we have fiscal responsibility, hugely important. What's in the budget? Let's start with $1.8 billion of tax relief at the gas pump, at the grocery aisle, for property taxes, direct aid to families. We also are providing a tax rebate for teachers who are purchasing school supplies for their students who are in need. And then, you know, let's also take a look at all the long-term things that we did to pay off debts in the state. Just a few years ago, we had almost $17 billion of a backlog of bills. Today, we've eliminated the backlog of bills. We've paid them all off. And we've paid off a whole bunch of other debts, including $900 million in group health insurance that's been owed. That's our state employees who had to pay for their own health insurance because the state didn't have the money to pay for it. And College Illinois, which was going nearly bankrupt. We finally stepped up and put the money in to make sure that families were getting what they paid. So these are all things that are in there, not to mention $518 million more in education dollars for K-12 education. I'm really proud of what we've done in this budget, and it's fiscally responsible. We've gotten credit upgrades. I expect more credit upgrades, and it's because of the work that we're doing.
Who gets the biggest portion of the pie? Where's the single largest slice of pie go to? Is it pensions? In years past, it had been.
It's pensions and health care, to be clear. And pensions is going down, that portion of the budget. Now, I insisted that we pay more into the pension system because we have a surplus, the largest surplus in a couple of decades for the state. And I insisted we put part of that into the pension system on top of the required payment. So that's bringing down by $2 billion the net pension liability. We also have a pension buyout program that's lowering our pension liability. So that number is going down. It was $144 billion. It's now $129 billion and going down. That's a good thing. We also, you know, importantly, this is a budget that is focused on making sure that we're standing up for our working families and people who very often been left out and left behind. There are many people who are going to qualify across Southern Illinois for an earned income credit. So that's money back in people's pockets for taxes that they're paying. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for a lot of people who aren't making enough money. And you know that I helped to raise the minimum wage across the state. That's a hugely important thing for families so they can afford to pay their bills.
You know, local officials kind of hope to see a growth in that LGDF increase cutting from 10 to 6.6. There is an increase, 6.16, but many had hoped for a larger increase in the return to the LGDF.
Yeah, me too. Let me start with this. I didn't cut the LGDF. That happened in the term before me. I came into office, and I've been actually adding to the coffers of local and county governments everything from, you know, the sales tax revenue from internet sales that are going to local governments to the legalization of cannabis. Those dollars are going to local governments and lots more. It's over $1 billion more going to local government than before I took office. Now, LGDF are you know, dollars that can be used in any which way by local government, and I think that's important. So I fought, actually, to make sure that we had at least some bump in the LGDF. We wanted to make sure to balance the budget, so everything here is, important to balance. And I think we accomplished that. Now, having said that, local governments need more, and they'll get more, with any increases in, revenues that come or and any increase in LGDF that we're able to put in the budget next year. But it's something that I believe in. It's something that I've worked with local mayors on.
The unemployment trust fund was a source of considerable debate, how much to pay when a partial payment was made. And I can't help but wonder, with the partial payment, does that increase the importance of Controller Mendoza's efforts to get the interest waiver in Washington? I saw a photograph this weekend. She's talking with Rodney Davis again about getting this interest waived.
I think that's a terrific effort on her part. There are lots of states, by the way, that are part of that effort, and Illinois ought to be a leader trying to get that waiver. But on top of that, you know, as you know, we put the largest amount of money ever into the unemployment insurance trust fund to try to take care of this deficit. This deficit, you know, which was caused by the COVID recession that we went through, is one that we're using ARPA dollars to pay off. So $2.7 billion is an enormous amount of money. It's the largest amount of any Midwestern state for unemployment insurance trust fund. And as you know, we need an agreed bill process to handle the rest of it. You know, business stepped up, labor stepped up. They're still in negotiations with one another. But that'll happen over the next 6 months. And we'll hopefully Susana Mendoza will be successful in her efforts in Washington to cut the amount of interest that may be owed.
We're speaking with Governor J.B. Pritzker this morning. It's interesting. I've had conversations, J.B., with state's attorneys, sheriffs, chiefs of police, and about the cashless bail, a part of the Safety Act. This seems to be the singular subject that pops up the most, even though it doesn't happen till January 1st. They say COVID and our rules for letting people out show us how this works, and it doesn't work well. Was this something, do you think, that should have been addressed in the session, or should it stay as is?
Well, as you point out, it hasn't gone into effect, so it hasn't had an impact out there, you know, despite what people are, you know, posting on Facebook that's completely fake. The fact is that what's being attempted here is an effort to make sure that just because you're wealthy or just because you happen to have enough money, if you've committed a violent crime, you shouldn't be let out. We ought to keep people who've committed violent crimes in jail. And people who have committed a petty crime, you know, a misdemeanor, shouldn't be kept in for, you know, owing $100. You want those people to make sure to, you know, be able to keep their jobs and be able to go to court and not have to sit in jail longer than somebody who committed an attempted murder. And so that's cashless bail is an important thing for us to accomplish in the right way. And again, it's about keeping the violent criminals in prison and letting those who have committed nonviolent crimes out.
So the election is on, and after the session, it's really on. It was on before. I mean, as you go through this, you're going to have five people, of course, and one, they're all going to be throwing rocks, right, because you're the singular subject on the Democratic aisle. I can't help but wonder your thoughts about the upcoming election. And what got me thinking about that is you talked about some of the stuff you see on the Internet, a lot of advertising, and sometimes you don't even know who sends it. So I was wondering, just blank slate. The upcoming election, what do you think it's about in the state of Illinois?
Well, it's about standing up for working families. That's what I'm doing. I've been doing it for 3.5 years already. It's about making sure that we're taking care of the needs of families across the state who want to save for their retirement, who want to make sure they're able to pay for their kids' education. And we've accomplished so much in this regard. You know, public safety is another area where we've been investing. You know, I've put a lot of money over the last 3 years into hiring more state troopers. Indeed, we have hired hundreds more state troopers, and our state police are in better shape than they've been in many years. They reached a low during my predecessor's term, and I just signed, or I'm going to sign, a budget in a week or two, couple of weeks, that will add 300 new troopers to our ranks. So that's hugely important. But, you know, let's just talk about what's important, raising wages for people. Well, I did that with raising the minimum wage. Child care support, we did that. We have many more people who are eligible for child care support. Small business grants. Republicans voted against small business grants, and they're out there complaining that, you know, that we're spending too much money. on small business grants, because they voted against the budget where we're providing small business grants. We've reduced the rape kit backlog significantly. And in fact, I really believe that if you want to reduce crime, you got to solve crime. So we invested in crime labs in the state. So we're going to have state-of-the-art crime labs. We did ethics reform. We made some big strides. Is there more to do? Of course. But it's my view that we have to take the wins we can get. And we did it in a bipartisan way, too. We expanded health care for people. And again, we're going to do more of that. More than 100,000 more people have health care as a result of the work that I did in my administration. And there are still those who need to be covered. And then, last thing I want to point out, last two things. One is the investment in infrastructure. You can feel it all around Southern Illinois. I hope you can. Because, boy, we have 3,500 miles of roads that have been repaired, 350 bridges that have been repaired or replaced. That's a big deal, and that's just the beginning. So that infrastructure program is really taking hold across the state. And then, I've been fighting hard to improve the way that state government runs. We made cuts when we needed to during the middle of COVID. People like to forget that we went through COVID. And when you talk about a budget funding government, COVID really had a deleterious effect. And so I've been proud of the way that we managed through the toughest times here, and most importantly, keeping people healthy and alive. You can't have a livelihood if you don't have your life. We did better than every other state in the Midwest in terms of keeping people alive on a per capita basis, and I'm very proud of the work that I did and also the people across the state who kept each other safe.
Yeah, I hate to see losing Dr. Ngozi Azikiwe. Just one final question, Governor. Do Illinoisans pay too much in state and local taxes? Do we pay too much?
Well, of course, we all want to reduce state and local taxes. That is something that I tried to do. I wanted 97% of people in Illinois to get a tax cut. Now we're doing it in this budget. Finally, we're giving a break to people, working people across our state. We ought to do more. I want to do it on a permanent basis. But we got to do it within the confines of a balanced budget. You don't want to get back to the years of Bruce Rauner and before, where you had unbalanced budgets. People were pretending they were balanced, but they weren't. There's a structural deficit we've got to make sure we're doing something about. And I have reduced that structural deficit significantly. I hope to get that to zero. And then we are able to lower taxes for people across the state.
Governor J.B. Pritzker, as always, Governor, I do appreciate your time. I know you're busy, but thank you for the call this morning.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Good to hear your voice.